Andrew Gross from the Bergen Record, a beat reporter for the Rangers, joins us. Andrew, what's the latest on Callahan's contract demands?
Well, I think the latest is what we've all seen today, you know, that the sides are closer. They've met at the 6 years. Originally, Cali wanted 7 years, and the Rangers didn't want to go more than five, and that's the exact same thing that just happened with Dan Girardi's contract. It seemed inevitable that they would get to 6 years, and that's what they've done with Callahan. But there's still about a half million difference apart. Rangers offered six at $6 million, so that's six for 36. And, you know, Cali wants more. It seems likely, you know, you don't have to be a mathematician, but if there's a deal to be struck, you know, before Wednesday's 3 p.m. deadline here in New York, it will probably be the 6 years, and maybe $6.25 million would be the compromise. The Rangers, you know, Callahan has to decide what the worth of staying with the Rangers is right now. You know, he's maintained all along that this is where he wants to be, but, you know, he's going to have to take less money to do it at this point. And the Rangers need to, you know, and I'm sure they have, but just look, project forward with their capology and see whether Ryan Callahan is, you know, $6 or $6.25 million until he's basically 36 years old makes sense from a financial standpoint.
Do you think it does?
I have all the respect in the world for Ryan Callahan and what he does and how he plays, but because of how he plays, I suspect that, you know, his body may break down earlier rather than later in this contract, and then you might be looking at the final 2-3 years on this contract with a player who's, you know, not performing at what you were paying when you signed him. And, you know, this is the last year for your amnesty buyout. So, you know, I could see that being trouble in the back end of any potential deal here.
Andrew Gross joins us. Andrew, Brad Richards, of course, you know, he's got a long-term contract up until 2020 for the Rangers. There's all speculations they might buy him out. You look at Callahan, and at $6 million for the points he puts up, and I like the way he plays. I understand that he has some other things that he adds, but I just don't see him being a $6 million player, and I'm not sure. Do you think any teams on the open market would give him $6 million plus a year?
You know what? Yeah, I do.
I mean, we
saw that. And again, David Clarkson was a fine player with the Devils. And you see the deal he got with the Maple Leafs. It seems like no matter what the owners say, there's always a team out there that's willing to give that money. You know, the strong speculation would be that the Sabres would pay a lot to get a homegrown kid, you know, like Ryan Callahan, who grew up in Rochester. He might be a pretty big draw up in Buffalo if that franchise could get itself straightened out. So, you know, it wouldn't shock me to see him get money, you know, upstate New York like that.
Other trade rumblings coming out of New York. So let's say Callahan gets a contract and they get it signed before the deadline on Wednesday. Do you see them then completely in addition mode to try to spur things in the honor? Or is a guy like Brian Boyle potentially going to be moved as a pending UFA? Who do you see moving in or out other than Callahan?
You know what? It's so much attention and focus has been on Ryan Callahan and Dan Girardi. It's like everything else has stopped. And I mean, I'm sure Glenn is out there, you know, talking to other teams. The first thing they could probably use is like any playoff contender, you'd like to bring in another defenseman, get a little more defense depth. You know, their seventh defenseman, Justin Faulk, hasn't played since December 29th. So I think if they could bring in an NHL quality defenseman, they'd probably do that for, you know, maybe picks or something. You know, they've got Derek Dorsett and Dan Carcillo, who are kind of two of the same kind of players. And I don't know if you could turn that into an asset somehow. Like you mentioned, Brian Boyle is going to be an unrestricted free agent. He's making $1.7 million this year. He'll probably get more than that on the open market, you know, even though he's on the fourth line. He's an effective player. He just has kind of lost his scoring touch that he had that 1 year. He scored 20 here. He hasn't been able to get back to those numbers. He hasn't been able to get close to those numbers, but you kind of think some team, you know, for a veteran presence like that would probably open their books to get him some money. You know what? With Matt Zuccarello out, I'm sure if they could bring in, you know, a wing who could score, they'd do that. It's just a matter of what kind of, picks they'd be willing to give up right now. I think Glenn might move a pick for a serviceable, NHL player.
Andrew Gross joins us from the Bergen Record. Andrew, out east, we don't see we see the east a lot more than we have in previous years, but still, it seemed like we saw them all early on, and now it's been more of a east versus east and west versus west. Looking at the Rangers, currently they sit in third place in the Metropolitan Division, seventh overall, but third place, them in Philadelphia kind of jockeying with Washington and Columbus right on their heels. If the Rangers don't make any moves, are they good enough to stay in a playoff spot?
Yeah, I certainly think they did. I mean, they've come out of the Olympic break a little sluggishly, and this was a very bad weekend for them. They went into the weekend looking pretty comfortable, or, relative terms, but they looking pretty solid in second place, and all of a sudden now they're within a point of dropping out of the top eight in the Eastern Conference. With the Rangers, as it always does, it comes down to Henrik Lundqvist and how good he's going to be, and this just wasn't a good weekend for him. He gave up 10 goals over two games, but pretty much from Christmas right through when the players went over to Sochi, the Rangers, I thought, were one of the better teams in the league. And when they play like that, I thought they could compete, with a Pittsburgh or a Boston in the Eastern Conference. Except, last night, the Bruins were just a much better team physically and certainly scoring-wise in terms of taking care of their chances. But you know what? When the Rangers are playing right, and if you add a piece, I certainly think they can compete here.
Henrik Lundqvist got off to a slow start. Then you mentioned really found his game again. And I don't know, was it just fatigue from the Olympics, Andrew? Because you never really even saw any sort of back-to-back scenarios where Lundqvist struggled. And he did it earlier this year and then, of course, just did it this weekend. Any reason to be concerned?
I don't think so. He had a bad weekend. no matter what he says, the Olympics are a very intense, emotional, endeavor for any athlete. And people react differently coming back. I don't think he's come back with any injuries. I don't think he was, overworked. Six games over, 2 weeks is, what he would do with the Rangers anyway. And they gave him that first game off the Olympics off. So I don't think it's a matter of that. It's maybe, just kind of readjusting mentally to the grind of the NHL and, getting over the fact that, you came home with the silver instead of the gold. And, everyone does that within their own time frame. Henrik says he's done that. He's put it behind him. And he was talking about the crazy, unbelievable bounces that the Bruins got last night, but he wasn't helped by the defensive effort either. So it was just a sluggish overall team effort, I thought, no matter what the gut players or Alain Vigneault said after the game about being just as good 5-on-5. I didn't see that. I don't worry about Henrik. The issues he had earlier in the season, I thought were a little bit mental, and once he received his 7-year, $59.5 million deal, he suddenly seemed to start playing much better. And so, I think you can see how the mental part of this plays into it.
One last one. How's Kevin Klein looked?
He's been steady. He just got elevated to the second pair midway through the third period Saturday at Philly. So he's now playing with Mark Stahl instead of John Moore, and they dropped Anton Stralman, who kind of struggled down in the Flyers. Kind of tough. Anton Stralman's been steady. He basically had, a bad two periods, and suddenly he's on the third pair with John Moore. But you know what? I think the Rangers made out pretty good in that trade, getting Klein a steady, if unspectacular, stay-at-home defenseman for Michael Delzato, who certainly brings more in terms of offensive potential, but, you wonder about DZ's, game-to-game intensity level and just his overall performance just was inconsistent this year, and I think they're seeing that in Nashville, too. where he started well and then has kind of dipped. Klein is just much more steady, and he fits into the Rangers puzzle better because he is a stay-at-home defenseman. And when he was paired with John Moore, who's kind of similar to Delzato in the way he plays, he allowed John Moore to get up the ice, and you know, John didn't have to worry about what was going on in his back end as he was trying to pinch because he knew Klein was back there. So I just think Kevin Klein fits into the Rangers matrix a little bit better at this point than Delzato did.
Andrew, as always, I appreciate your time. What's your gut instinct? Callahan going to get a deal done before Wednesday?
You know what? I told someone the other day that I still thought it was 65-35 that he would wind up getting dealt. The caveat there is I don't see a strong market developing yet for Callahan, and if Glenn Sather doesn't get the return, it probably behooves him to just keep Cali, even if it is in a rental situation for the rest of this year, you know, because that's going to make the Rangers better in the short term. So, you know what? I could see it going both ways. I still kind of lean towards him being traded out of here right now.
And any destinations?
You know what? The Rangers are always trading with Columbus, aren't they? So, I don't know. The one thing I've learned about Glenn Sather is he is a master of not letting leaking information, you know, every time you think he's going to zig, he zags. So, you know, it's kind of a fool's game to try and play along with Glenn Sather to see where guys are going. I know a lot of teams would be interested in a Ryan Callahan. I think Glenn would like to get him out of the Eastern Conference for the rest of the season, but I don't think that's, you know, he would have to do that. I think he would trade. He would trade within the conference.
Andrew, always good to catch up with you. Should be a fun 48 hours. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, Jason. You have a good one.